I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of The Memo. It is Monday, March 7th. I'm Derek Russell, along with Brad Locke, bringing you the latest in Northeast Mississippi news and goings on. Not much to report on over the weekend, but we've got some things from last week and a few things today. We felt precedent to, that's not the word I was looking for. Prevalent was actually the word I was going for to talk about. How are you, Brad?
What's up, buddy?
Hey.
Have a good weekend?
I got all that negative. What's up, buddy? I like that. Very. Yeah,
it's good. Monday. What are you going to do?
Good weekend.
Got two cups of coffee in me. I'm good to go.
Oh, yeah?
I'm doing well in Folgers. Not that crap.
We've switched Brad's Maxwell hats with new Folgers crystals. Let's see if he notices.
Chris Farley beats up the waiter. Okay. That's the sketch that came to mind. You son of a... You switched
what
my coffee.
You do my coffee? the good days.
Oh, man. I have to pull that clip up now in a little while.
That's fine. We have work to do.
Classic. Yeah.
What'd you do this weekend?
Well, I'm in a play now.
Yeah.
Same one you're in. So yeah. I went to play practice, rehearsal, whatever you want to call it,
good
yesterday.
For you.
First one I've ever been in. First stage production I've been in.
For lack of trying.
Yeah, well, I get to play a bad guy.
Insert plug here. What's the name of the play? When's it
the Peacemakers. It's a Western, so this mustache gets to stick around a little bit longer, Derek. Aren't you happy?
Entitlement.
Baldwin?
Yeah, Baldwin yeah. Weekend of April 7th.
Yeah, so, you know, I grew this for Mustache Bash, which is March 19th. Now that I'm in this Western, the director, Jonathan Martin, took one look at me the first time I showed up for practice. He's like, keep it. It's perfect. Don't need
you
to change
do
a thing.
You can't do any gel in your hair, though. I hope you realize
Well, I'll be wearing
that.
A hat. Yeah. So, still got to order my Western outfit, because I don't have, like, boots
you
or a hat
or anything. A Western outfit?
No,
you don't have
I don't.
Yeah?
I had friends who basically dressed like cowboys growing up because I grew up in, well, Mississippi and Louisiana. So, you know, Wranglers and cowboy boots. And
I appreciate you not doing that.
And those god-awful Brooks and Dunn flame shirts.
Brooks and Dunn.
Remember those shirts?
There's a name I have.
A lot of people.
Or names, I guess. That's actually
a lot of people in the 90s wore those shirts. And Garth Brooks, I think, had a similar.
It was one of those people. I always thought it was one person. Brooks and Dunn.
No.
It was the same. I thought it was just one
Kix
guy.
Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn. Funny story. Kix,
oh, you know their names. Oh, that's right. You were
I was
a
big
DJ.
In the country back then. I was a DJ.
You were
country
a radio DJ.
But Kix
you?
Brooks, you know, he actually.
Kix Brooks?
That's
his name?
I don't know if it's his real name, but that's what he goes by.
Kix Brooks.
K-I-X.
Both names plural.
I mean, I lived in Ruston, Louisiana for a while, home of Louisiana Tech. Kix Brooks would come back
Please
often.
Please stop saying his name.
He'd go there often because he played football at La Tech. Did you know that?
No, why would I? I didn't
so
even
did,
know his name was Kix.
So did Trace Adkins. He briefly played
Who
football.
Who's Trace Adkins?
Another country star from the 90s.
I hate
you see
country.
Him on those Wounded Warrior commercials all the time.
Heck
or whatever
I
that
do.
Is.
Oh,
and you
not
know who
only,
else played football
not
at La
only
Tech?
Is it Kix. It's not plural because it's K-I-X.
As I said, K-I-X.
I didn't hear
Phil
that.
Phil Robertson was Terry Bradshaw's, was actually the starting quarterback.
I know who Terry Bradshaw is.
Yeah, but no, Phil Robertson, the dynasty.
Who, yeah,
Most people
yeah,
know that story.
Yeah, I got you there.
But yeah, so La Tech has turned out some interesting people. Definitely.
Kix Brooks.
Yeah, I know.
That's a terrible name.
The story I heard, Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn could not make it as solo artists, but they came together and for whatever reason just became this huge country duo in
Ronnie
the 90s.
Dunn.
They were huge back then, Derek. Come on.
Yeah, I remember that. They came here.
Yeah.
They came to the arena.
I saw them in concert once.
Yeah. Brooks and Dunn. Yeah. I hate country music.
Were you covering Mississippi State when they had a pitcher named Brooks Dunn? You remember that?
No, I was not.
That might have been while I was covering Ole Miss at the Eagle, maybe mid to late 2000s.
Yeah, I didn't start covering state baseball till the 2009 season. So
name
yeah,
one Brooks and
that.
Dunn song.
My Maria. There's one.
My Maria.
My Maria.
My Maria.
There's that one. There's, of course, the Boot, Scoot, and Boogie. That's one of their classics.
They didn't do Boot, Scoot, and Boogie.
Yeah, they did.
They did Boot, Scoot, and Boogie.
They sure did.
I feel stupid just saying the words Boot, Scoot, and Boogie.
Oh, yeah. They made. There's a dance mix of it, too.
I think
they play
I
a
get
lot.
That one mixed up with, what was the...
We know line dancing kind of got big in the 90s. That was one of the songs people
yeah.
would dance to a lot.
What,
dance mix.
What
we had to do it in elementary PE classes.
I'm pretty sure I have a copy of the dance mix.
I'm
version.
So sorry. What is the... Cyrus. not Miley.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah. What was his big song?
The Achy Breaky Heart.
That's what I'm confusing.
I hated that song.
I hate country music. With
Billy Ray does nothing for me, but Brooks and Dunn, I like those guys.
They're good. I like George Jones and you know.
Oh yeah, the older stuff, no doubt.
Waylon and stuff like that. I love that stuff too. But this is all terrible.
Johnny Cash would be my favorite country artist ever.
Yeah,
no doubt.
That's all good. But
how do we even get on this topic? I don't understand what happened.
Mild stroke is all I can blame it towards. I don't know. What do we got to talk about today, Brian?
Well, we got a special guest on the show.
I wouldn't call me special, but I'm happy to be
here. I'm talking about you. Oh. She's much better looking than you. Ashley Prince, you may know who she is, especially if you're a frequenter of the food truck here in town, the local mobile food truck. She's the face of the food truck. So Ashley's going to be on the show to talk about that and some other things. We've got Bobby Harrison on the show to talk about what's happening in Jackson. And we've got Michaela Morris on the show, reporter Michaela Morris, to talk about newborn screenings, I believe. And it's Monday, so crime reports today.
Sounds good. Okay. Let's get into it.
Okay, let's welcome in a special guest to the show, the lovely and talented Ashley Prince. Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Great to have you on the show.
It's great to be here.
You know, I told Ashley about the podcast a while back, and then when she started listening, she was like, I need to get on the podcast. So I was like, that's a good idea.
Well, I love my Daily Journal, and I love my Daily Journal people, so to sit here and chat with you is, what more can I ask?
And most of you probably know who Ashley is. You've probably seen her face, like in the paper or in a local magazine or something. And if you've been to the local mobile food truck, then she's probably taken your order and given you your food, because that's what Ashley every day. You can find her in the food truck, which is owned by Kurt McClellan.
It is.
He's the guy who makes and prepares the food. You're more the marketing chief, marketing manager, the social media person, aren't you?
Yes, I think we've titled me the marketing specialist just for, it's kind of, you know, one of those titles. It just sounds really good. But basically, I'm the window person, the person who's most likely to sit and talk with you and take your order, take your money, give you change, and tell you about the food and the specials, if any people have any questions and stuff. So, and I half the time I keep them entertained while they're waiting for the food to cook. And,
yes.
But yeah, it has been a true joy to be part of the food truck experience with Kurt. In August, it'll be 3 years. So
yeah,
it's been a good
you.
Two and a half years since he opened.
Yeah.
I was there with him from the beginning. And it has just been a true pleasure to be a part of it.
Now, how did you and Kurt kind of come together with this? How'd you get involved?
Well, we were friends before,
okay.
but not close friends, but friends just through Tupelo and you know,
yeah,
socializing and things like that. And when he said, "Well, I'm opening a food truck and I want to know if anybody's interested," me, please, you know. So he it worked out, and so it's just been great. I mean, as much as I'm just an employee, I mean, I just get paid by the hour. I'm not a partner or anything like that. But I just assume be a partner because I take true ownership in the success of the food truck. So
oh, yeah.
I really care about the business, and you know, so he and I really work at it together. But it's a full time job for him. It is
yeah.
not. It's a part-time job for me, and it's just for fun. It's something I just enjoy doing. But Kurt takes it seriously, and he had a good plan from the beginning. He thought it through. He tried different recipes. He,
yeah.
you know, he finished out the truck on the inside mostly by himself.
Yeah.
And he runs it like a serious business, which you need to make it a success. So I think there may be a misperception from some that he's just raking it in hand over fist. That's certainly not the case. I don't think he, you know, he's getting rich by any means, but he's making a go of it. And, you know, he's able to keep it going.
Yeah.
But you do have to take it seriously and work really hard at it because it's not easy. It's a lot of work. And
yeah.
there are a lot of cold, rainy days in the winter where we may have a handful of customers, but we appreciate each and every one of them. And you just kind of work on averages, and
yeah.
you know, the spring and fall are the best times because super, super hot summer doesn't really do a lot for people wanting to stand outside either.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's a viable business, and you know, we've had a few come and go for different reasons, but he and I both love it, and he takes it seriously and runs it like a business and does a great job.
Yeah. You know, that food truck trend started within the last, I guess, decade or so, really, you know, picked up steam. And like you said, it's been about 2.5 years since y'all started this up. And there were some other food trucks. I know there's the Mexican one. There's a barbecue one. Are they still around? Or are y'all the only game in town
right now? There are some other food truck types. There's the there's a Mexican one that sets up by Choice Pond.
Okay.
And then there's a barbecue, D&D barbecue. They're, I think, now on North Gloucester. The barbecue, Memphis style barbecue on wheels, they actually sold the truck back to somebody in Memphis. They moved to Tupelo to do heating and air conditioning business. So it, he realized he needed to go back and focus on what he came here for. And so they sold the truck. The, Two Dudes Mexican Foods, I think their truck is actually for sale now as well. And it's unfortunate. Eric Dufford, we got to be friends with him.
Sure.
He really loves the business. But unfortunately he's not able to kind of do it anymore with some health issues and stuff. And I think his sons decided maybe it wasn't for them. It's not there in a town this size, no matter how hard you work it. I don't think there's enough money for two people to split to actually make a living. So, I think that they just realized that it wasn't going to be viable for two of them to share in that. So anyway, so we're the only, I think, rolling truck in Tupelo at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems like Tupelo's really embraced the food truck thing, though. I mean, you have a Food Truck Friday still going on?
We do. Every Friday, all the food trucks in town, we tell them, come down to Fair Park. We kind of did that even from the beginning when we were the only one, because we knew there probably would be others. And it was a lot of fun when there were the three of us going. Now it's kind of hit or miss. There is a hot dog vendor that comes down there sometimes. We're going to be there every Friday. And we'll make it fun no matter what.
And y'all are open 11 to 1:30.
Yes. On a daily basis.
5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And you're just different spots around town, which you can find out where they are each day just by checking Facebook or Twitter. Look for Local Mobile on Facebook. On Twitter, it's at Local Mobile TUP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Instagram.
Right, and Instagram.
Yes.
Same.
I think it's Local Mobile TUP as well, yes.
Okay. And you tend to hit kind of the same spots, Fair Park, downtown, maybe C Spire. I mean, do you have kind of agreements with people to set up near their business or whatever?
Yes. If it's on private property, we do have to have permission from the business owner. Some places like the hospital clinics, like Longtail Medical Center is where we're setting up right now on Tuesdays. We did have to have permission from the hospital, and they actually wanted us to have insurance and things like that. So some businesses do have requirements. Some people just would rather not have a food truck park on their property. But all in all, people have really embraced it. They're happy to see us there and enjoy the food. So it's fun. And we always welcome people to give suggestions of somewhere they'd like us to come. Because we're not set by any means in any place, except for, of course, Friday at Fair Park. We're always going to be there.
Right.
But yeah, kind of go into the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank heavens for social media with the food truck business because it really is what we have relied on. I guess I shouldn't say it with the journal, but Kurt hasn't spent any money on advertising. It's all been through social media. So we've used Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Now we're having fun getting into Periscope. And then last week we even tried Facebook Live, which to us, because he has so many Facebook followers, because people need to know where he is and what he's got going on, I think that's going to be a better place for us to video.
Okay, I haven't tried the Facebook Live.
Yeah, we really enjoy it. We had a lot of people check in and comment and stuff, so I think that's going to be a good one.
Okay. I mentioned earlier, people have probably seen your face around. You go to a lot of events in town. I think I saw pictures. You were at the Blue Canoe anniversary thing the other night. You kind of see yourself as an ambassador for Tupelo, because I kind of think you are.
I kind of am. And I kind of joke again saying I'm a self-proclaimed ambassador of Tupelo. But I do have, I guess, some credentials, because I was a graduate of the first Tupelo Tourism Leadership Development class through the CVB several years ago. And so we got a great education about the history of Tupelo, how the town was founded, how it's, you know, developed along the way, and you know, the Tupelo spirit and everything that's such a big part of it. So, I do have, I guess, a degree. But I also just really, I mean, we've been here going on 11 years.
Yeah, because you're from Louisiana.
Originally New Orleans, but New Orleans, I moved here from Hattiesburg last, and then I was on the Mississippi Gulf Coast in Pascagoula before that. But Tupelo, from the beginning, I mean, it's such a town that embraces people who move here. Yeah. I think other towns kind of have their cliques, or they're like, you know, you're welcome to be here, but
right.
stay over there. Tupelo really kind of, oh, let me introduce you to this person or that person, or come have dinner or join this club. Or, I mean, it's just, it really is a place that makes people feel like home from the very beginning. So
oh, yeah.
I absolutely love it. I have a true passion for Tupelo. And so I try to just spread the word and you know, do yeah. the same. I mean, turn it around and embrace new people that come to town and help them.
Yeah.
Find new things. And I mean, I've done things. You can go to the Tupelo hardware store, and I've bought a handful of guitar picks. They have the Tupelo hardware store on them.
Yeah.
And just if I go somewhere and go, where are you from? Well, I'm from Tupelo, birthplace of Elvis. And then they go, oh, I love Elvis. And I'll give them one of those. Well, you know, this is where he got his first guitar, was Tupelo hardware store. And it's just a little thing, but they just really love it. And it just gives people a positive notion and just a little Tupelo trinket, I guess, just to hold near and dear.
That's cool. Yeah. You even got to dabble in politics a little bit last year. Your husband, Mark, ran for state office.
He did.
Unsuccessful, but still, it had to be kind of a cool experience, wasn't it?
It absolutely was, and I was thinking about it just this morning. I mean, just when you think you know everybody in town, try going and knocking on every door in your district, and you realize you really don't. I mean, you see a lot of friends and neighbors and acquaintances and things like that, but you also see a lot of people that you weren't aware or even here. So it's good for everyone, I think, to realize, just embrace all the people in your community and try to get to know people outside of your core circle, because there are a lot of good people around here. And I think all in all, we're all just doing our best to, you know, be good citizens and make this a good place to live.
Going back to the food truck, probably should. So, for people who don't know, what kind of food do y'all serve? It's good food. I mean, I've had the catfish po' boy. What did I have last week? Actually, was it the barbecue?
The burger sliders, I think.
Yeah, my wife loves the burger sliders. Yes. I think I got the barbecue.
The pulled pork sliders.
Pulled pork. That's what it was. That was delicious. Y'all have a different special each day too.
We do. So our core menu is basically everything's grilled. We don't have a fryer, so it's grilled catfish, shrimp, or sausage po' boys.
Well, that's healthier.
And it's all dressed with, healthy-ish.
Then you put all the sauce on it.
Exactly. But it's with, they're all dressed with lettuce, tomato, pickle, and remoulade sauce. We call it truck-made remoulade sauce.
There you go.
Delicious. And then the burger sliders, which are awesome, on Sister Schubert rolls. And then he'll do salad. We do have the salad option. You can do spring mix lettuce with either the catfish or shrimp. And then we have daily specials, and some of the favorites are the pulled pork sliders, like you mentioned, the chicken and dumplings, which are really awesome. Mm-hmm. He's done, when it's cold, red beans and rice or gumbo, chicken and sausage gumbo. Really delicious. I mean, Kurt, he does, I don't think he would mind me saying, most of the cooking at his house, if not almost all. And so he's just a person, he really enjoys cooking. He enjoys just make people happy with his yummy food. And he has been consistently good from day one. I mean, everything from the first day to now, it's the same.
Yeah.
And it's delicious. I mean, I'm not tired of it. I've been on there every single day. So
is some of the Cajun influence from you, or is that just stuff
he likes to
make?
It actually was his grandmother, he said, that she, he got a lot of some of his recipes and cooking concepts, I guess, from her. So
cool.
I take no credit for the cooking area. He does it all by himself.
Nice.
I've flipped a bun or two. That's about it.
Well, you're kind of the face of the food truck, I guess.
So absolutely. And he said he would much rather me do that. He's not comfortable as much doing that, even though he's a great, friendly, awesome guy. And I certainly don't want to do the cooking. So
I think
we're happily divided in our areas of expertise. And it's been a blast. It really has. And if anyone hadn't tried it that wants to try it, I'd welcome you to, because I think I would find it rare that a person didn't enjoy the food.
Yeah, I've never had a bad meal from the food truck. A Local Mobile, you can find them again on Facebook. You can find them on Twitter at Local Mobile TUP. TUP is in Tupelo. Ashley Prince, quite the pleasure to have you on. Thank you very much.
I so enjoy it. Thank you, too.
Need to remind y'all about the two sports podcasts we have here, produced by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com, Prep Rally and Double Coverage. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast hosted by myself and Gene Phelps, covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. You can listen on iTunes, your podcast app, or at PrepRally.DJournal.com. And then Double Coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Paris Alford and Logan Lowry every Thursday. You can listen to that at on iTunes or your podcast app or doublecoverage.djournal.com. Okay, let's go down to Jackson, bring in Capitol Bureau reporter Bobby Harrison. Bobby, welcome back.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. Had a good weekend and ready for next week of the legislative session.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fun. We're around the halfway point, I guess, of this session, Bobby, and one of the big topics has been school choice, and been several bills dealing with school choice. Some are still alive, some are not. You had a story Sunday talking about that. Basically, I guess for those who are backing school choice, kind of been a mixed bag for them so far, hasn't it?
That's right, Brad. It's probably hadn't been as productive a session for them as they had hoped. They struggled, the school choice folks struggled getting legislation out of the House during the past four-year term. They got a couple of things, but not very outside of the voucher bill for the special education students. Most of what they got, they felt, didn't go nearly far enough. And so they Empower Mississippi was the main group, the school choice group. And they spent a lot of money during this past year's election, nominating, getting folks elected they felt would be more favorable to their school choice agenda, including they were kind of controversial in the sense that they went after Republicans to a large extent, Republicans who they felt weren't favorable to their agenda, and defeated some pretty well-known Republicans, at least in legislative circles throughout the state, who they felt voted against them too many times. And yet, so they had high hopes for this session, and some key pieces of legislation that they support are still alive. But it was interesting that some of their main bills got killed, have already been killed in the process.
The school voucher bill was a big one they wanted to get, but it never made it out of committee. It's interesting, one of the co-authors of that voucher bill, Randy Boyd from Mantachie, Republican, ended up saying, he supports the concept of vouchers, said he could not support this particular piece of legislation because of lack of accountability. Of course, he was not, like I said, he was a co-author, so I guess some of the other co-authors just didn't quite put it together like he to his liking.
Yeah, he said he was going to ask for his name be taken off the bill. And, it was actually killed by another co-author. The House Appropriations Chair Herb Frierson was a co-author. And he killed a bill when he didn't bring it up in his Appropriations Committee for consideration. Now, he says he didn't bring it up because it wasn't enough votes to pass it out of committee. And he hadn't really said whether he would support the bill as it was written. But I think if the bill had gone through the process, there would have been there would have had to be a lot more accountability measures and other items put into the bill before it could have gotten through either chamber of the legislature. And I'm not sure that it had gotten through the House, even though the Senate's been really has wanted to go further than the House on some school choice issues. I'm not sure the Senate would have taken up that voucher bill. So it was kind of doomed from the beginning. We just didn't recognize it maybe at the time.
John Moore, the House Education Chairman, said that regarding school vouchers, school choice, he said, quote, "We'll pass it piecemeal one at a time." I mean, obviously this is not an issue that's going to go away. Well, I'm sure it'll resurface next legislative session. What's kind of the future for that issue, you think?
Well, I think a voucher bill to come back, and the bill to allow students to cross district line to go from a poor performing school district to a better performing school district, I think that would come back up again. Even though that bill has a lot of opposition from, the Republicans are in a majority in both chambers, and a lot of times the district the poor performing students would be coming from would be a district where they'd be going to a good performing district in a Republican House or Senate district. So I think that bill has a lot of problems on a lot of ends. A lot of different people may end up being opposed to that bill, and that's probably why it didn't get out of committee this year. Or it got out of committee, but it died on the House calendar.
Right, right. As far as the rest of the session goes, school choice advocates, what are they kind of hanging their hat on now? I guess it would be the charter school legislation.
That's right. The House and Senate have both expanded the current charter school law in their legislation, or their legislation would expand the current charter school law if their legislation becomes law. The Senate proposal goes much farther than the House proposal, which again shows that the house is not as favorable to a school choice as a lot of people thought they were going to be after the 2015 elections. But both bills do expand the charter school law, and that's probably going to be a priority for the school choice people, and that's also a priority. That is the that's the key piece of school choice legislation that Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves has been real vocal in supporting. He's been an early proponent of charter schools, and so I don't know if he is as big a proponent as vouchers. He doesn't seem to be, but he's definitely a proponent of charter schools. So that's probably going to be an issue that goes all the way to the end of the session to see just how far the expansion goes.
All right, good stuff there. You can read Bobby's story in Sunday's Journal or at djournal.com. And don't forget, we're going to have a new episode of Capitol View this afternoon. It's our weekly webcast with myself and Bobby at djournal.com. Bobby will provide commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. You can watch live each Monday around 2 o'clock, and if you miss the live webcast, you can just watch the replay there at djournal.com, and we'll have new episodes every Monday as long as the legislature is in session. So, Bobby, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, good deal. All right, bye.
Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The company that will be providing air service between Tupelo and Nashville has picked a name and plans to reveal more details of that service later this month. Corporate Flight Management will be flying its 9-passenger twin-engine planes through its new brand, Contour Airlines. It will announce the start of air service on March 22nd. The schedule will include 5 daily flights between Tupelo and Nashville on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, 4 flights on Tuesdays and Sundays, and 3 flights on Saturdays.
Tupelo city leaders are traveling to Washington, D.C. this week for a national convention of municipalities. Mayor Jason Shelton's administration left Sunday for the National League of Cities Congressional City Conference and will return Thursday. Council members Buddy Palmer, Nettie Davis, Mike Bryan, and Travis Beard also will attend. Palmer said they looked forward to meeting people and seeing new ideas. Shelton said he also plans to meet with federal officials about the city's planned stabilization project at Kings Creek.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency is providing $3.5 million in grant funding to build a multi-purpose hazardous weather safe room on the Itawamba Community College campus in Fulton. The 13,000-square-foot facility will have the capacity to protect more than 2,300 students, faculty, and staff from wind speeds up to 250 miles per hour. The total cost of the project is $5.77 million. FEMA will cover 61% of the cost.
Judges and law enforcement in Northeast Mississippi worry that pending legislation could create serious problems with courtroom security. The bills being considered would allow knives and guns inside courtrooms and allow civil lawsuits against law enforcement officers trying to remove the weapons. Chancery Court Judge John Hatcher said he thinks adding a gun in volatile situations could be dangerous. Lee County Sheriff Jim Johnson said he does not allow court bailiffs to carry weapons into the Lee County Justice Center as a way to make sure things don't escalate. He said if the law is passed, he would not be able to keep guns out of courtrooms, even when court is in session.
The State House overwhelmingly passed legislation Thursday to allow people to register to vote online and to vote early. The proposals are part of Secretary of State Delbert Hoseman's overall package to overhaul Mississippi's election laws that he said are out of date and often conflicting. The bill also includes a section requiring candidates for public office to itemize on their campaign finance reports all credit card expenditures of more than $200. The legislation now goes to the Senate.
All right, Michaela Moore is joining us now. Michaela, how are you doing today?
I'm always happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you here. Talking about something very important to the state of Mississippi and individuals, especially everybody in this room, I would say.
Any parent out there.
The 4 parents in this room, newborn health screenings. This was kind of born out of a tragedy.
It was. It's very sad. But it's had an incredible legacy for this family. Ben Haygood was 2.5 years old when he developed a stomach bug, and his parents did what any of the rest of us would do with a kid that is throwing up but doesn't have a fever, isn't dangerously dehydrated. You stick him on crackers and Sprite and you watch him. But for the Haygoods, in the middle of the night, Ben stopped breathing, and his heart stopped, and he was gone. And it took them a month to find out that he had a genetic disorder that hadn't shown up in their families previously, that kept his body from going into the fat cells to get energy when you don't eat, which the rest of us take for granted.
Yes.
And
yes, I do.
It struck them at the time that if they had known that a test for these other genetic disorders were out there, they could have paid $25 extra when he was born to send his blood off for a lab, and they would have found out that he had this condition that really all they had to do was have him eat every 4 to 6 hours or so. And if he started throwing up, he needs to go to the emergency room and get a special IV. I mean, as genetic disorders go, it's a relatively simple one to handle. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know that it's happening before your child goes into crisis, there's no time to figure it out.
Yeah.
They wanted other families not to go through what they went through. And they teamed up with Steve Holland, mm-hmm. who at the time was the chairman of the House Health Committee. And they looked at this, and there were Mississippi at the time was screening for 6 congenital disorders that could be treated and had bad outcomes for children if they weren't caught early. But they saw that there were 29 disorders that you were able to screen for that there were treatments for. And so Mississippi ended up with model legislation that was heralded as a... it was used by several states, 15 to 20 other states across the nation, to create a genetics advisory committee that looks at what they can test for, what can be treated, and how many Mississippi kids are likely to be affected by it. And they still meet regularly to look at what's out there. And they promoted this with the March of Dimes across the country, and now all states test for the condition that Ben died from, MCAD. And it's also been a boon to families with cystic fibrosis because it finds these children before they have a crisis, and there are a number of other metabolic disorders that are picked up by this. And it really has been, I mean, Mississippi has stayed in the lead on this. Now we're up to 41 disorders, and then there's about 20 secondary disorders that pop with this. But it's kind of nice for Mississippi to be ahead of the curve.
It was nice to be in the leading instead of in the 50th in some regards. So before Ben's untimely death, what were the parameters that were searched for in newborn screenings?
Probably the one that was most universally screened for was PKU. And then in Mississippi, of course, we've always screened for sickle cell anemia. Mm-hmm. And there's, I can pull it up, but galactosemia and some congenital adrenal hyper something.
It was a very limited list.
Yeah, it was, and Mississippi was fairly robust at the time. Very few other states were even looking at this, and Mississippi jumped into the lead by doing this. And actually, it's kind of Robin Haygood, Ben's mother, ended up going on the Today Show twice with the March of Dimes folks, kind of talking about their experiences. They were featured in People, but the second trip to New York, she took her 2 oldest children, her girls, with her, and so they got to watch while she was interviewed with Matt Lauer. But the funny thing is, one of her daughters spilled her cereal in the green room at the Today Show, and Al Roker helped her clean it up. So,
Well, but now, of course, the parameters are so small, we're much wider on that.
Ben would have been a high school senior this year, so it seemed like a nice time to reflect on this. In the first 5 years that Mississippi had the expanded screening, there were 718 children who were identified with disorders. And these are children who would have died or they would have suffered irreversible damage, often damage to their mental and developmental abilities. That they would have required lifelong care. Now, some of these things are very PKU is, by all reports, requires a kind of a yucky exclusion diet. They're not as all as easy to manage as MCAD, which, you know, we talked to a family who has MCAD, and they have to take a lot of precautions, but their daughter can pretty much live a very normal life just with extra snacks. Other folks, like with cystic fibrosis, there's a lot of medicine. There's a lot of management of food and airways and, you know, daily respiratory therapy kind of things and frequent hospitalizations and things, a lot more things they have to manage compared to an MCAD family. But these are kids who are largely able to have full lives.
Mm-hmm. And you went above and beyond. I mean, other children here that have been in families that have benefited from these screenings, that maybe not MCAD, but different conditions. Yeah,
last year there were 75 conditions identified, 75 children. So now, to some extent, these are needles in the haystack because there are about 35 to 40,000 children born each year in Mississippi. So, you know, the vast majority of Mississippians aren't affected by these things. But for the families that are, I mean, this is life-changing stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it, you know, for it can be the difference between losing a child and having a child that's thriving.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, Michaela, thanks for joining us today.
So welcome.
Need to remind you about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. It's Monday, Derek. Quit rubbing your
eyes
over there.
All day and half the night. I didn't have my two cups. We replaced Derek's Maxwell House with nothing. He got nothing today.
With decaf.
Wow. Yeah.
That would cause me to choke
somebody. What is the point
of
decaf?
I still have no idea what that
don't
is.
Look at me.
Coffee serves a purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah. Emma Kent sent me a funny link from this morning from Relevant Magazine. It was a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing about what your coffee says about your theology.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would say, okay, this type of coffee, and then it would explain like the regular dark, just black iced coffee says you accept the dark, cold truth of Calvinism. And I'm a Presbyterian, so I appreciate that. But for decaf, it just said one word, heretic. So, yeah, I don't understand the point of decaf coffee. That defeats the freaking purpose of coffee.
Even the name just sounds negative, decaf.
It is. It's kind of a negative connotation.
Yeah, it's a very negative connotation. It's
lacking something that it needs.
It's decaf.
Decaf.
Maybe we should start using it in the vernacular, like calling something bad. Oh, that's decaf.
Oh, man.
Man. He wiped out on his board. Oh, that's decaf.
Your candidate of choice is just so decaf.
Yeah.
They're lacking.
Trump is decaf.
God, worse than decaf, whatever that is.
Crime
reports. Here we go.
That's
okay.
Work it back around there.
Anything decaf happened in the last week?
Is anybody acting decaf in the area? Hashtag decaf.
Yes, we do have one involving milk, which some people put in their coffee.
Hashtag decaf.
Okay, Jimmy Fallon.
Like that.
Yeah.
A Plantersville woman said she went to a house on County Road 452 in Nettleton. She said she was threatened by two suspects known only as Wendy and Juicy. Who took her cell phone and Emerald Rewards card, a key, and $25 in cash.
She went to a house.
She went to a house. I guess she knew the person. at the house, but two other people were there that...
Wendy and or Juicy?
Wendy and Juicy. That's her name. Oh, well, that's what she goes by, Juicy. We've come across some great names on these crime reports.
So Wendy and Juicy accosted said woman.
Yes, and
took her Emerald Rewards card, $25, a key.
And a cell phone.
And a cell phone.
Yeah.
It's very specific.
I remember...
give me your key.
Early on, when I was doing these crime reports, a girl... We don't normally put names in the crime reports.
No.
Certainly not whole names, but there are exceptions, like when you have Wendy and Juicy. Or there's this... There's this report from, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago. This girl calling herself Mexico Destiny. And I was like, I just got to use that. So we did. And I've referenced her a few times since then. That's one of my favorite names.
You know who we haven't talked about in a while is James.
I just had that thought. We haven't heard from James in a while. Hasn't been texting people naughty pictures lately, I guess. He's been kind of quiet. I don't know.
Maybe they found him.
Maybe so.
Maybe Juicy's an alias for James.
Could be. Who says it's a female? I mean, it just says two suspects named Wendy and Juicy. Could be a guy.
Juicy would be an interesting person for someone who texted pictures of themselves to people.
Juicy sounds kind of like a pimp name, though, actually, when you think about it. Just saying.
Moving on.
A Mount Vernon Road man said a neighbor removed several fence posts and fencing on his property as part of an ongoing dispute. That's it.
What?
Just removed fence posts and fencing. That seems like an awful lot of work. Removing fences is like real work. That's hard manual labor.
Yeah, that's...
If I hate somebody, I don't care how much I hate them. I'm not going to hate them enough to like do that much manual labor.
This will
like,
get them.
Pull this. That's too hard. Okay. I still hate you, but I'm not going to go to that effort.
If there is a dispute, wouldn't you be doing the opposite too? Wouldn't you be building a fence?
You know that what they say, good fences make good neighbors, but I don't know. Maybe there's a... I'm guessing it's a property line dispute.
That would have to be what it is.
One of the classic property line disputes.
That also takes more than, like, 5 minutes.
It takes a while.
Yeah, how did he sneak it? I mean, thinking the same thing.
You've got to...
Was he out of town?
And it's not a quiet process either.
No. And probably did it, like, when the guy was at work all day or something.
Especially if it was, like, chain... Did it say if it was chain link?
It didn't say what kind, but still, that seems like a good bit of work. Again, that's just... I mean, I don't like manual labor anyway, so I'm not going to go to that effort. Okay, I'm just going to lob insults at you and maybe, I don't know, do something that requires a lot less time and effort. You know, TP your yard or something. That would make more sense. I don't know.
Brad Locke can be reached at the Daily Journal at 1242 what? South Green Street.
Yeah.
He TP'd all the yards.
Yeah, your yard has been TP'd.
I've never TP'd a yard. How about that? A man with an active arrest warrant was stopped in the alley behind a North Gloucester hotel. The man had a jug of milk he said he was taking to his wife and one-month-old baby. Mm-hmm. While one officer took the man to jail, another officer delivered the milk to the mother and child. I kind of feel bad for that guy.
Why did he get picked up?
He had a warrant. I don't know.
He had a warrant. I missed that part.
I don't know why.
I got captivated at the milk aspect.
I don't know why they stopped him. He was just walking in an alley behind the hotel with milk.
That's profiling.
If he was acting suspicious. Or what the deal was. Didn't say what led to the cops putting the cuffs on him. Maybe they just recognized him.
That conversation, though, had to be interesting when the officer brought the milk to the wife and kid, right? It's like,
Milkman's here.
Here's your milk.
Well, I'm really a cop, but I have milk for you.
What would have been funnier if it had been a cat and it was the guy from Scottish Inns again? There was no wife and baby.
The guy from the Scottish Inns.
Yeah.
911, yes. This cat needs milk. I found this cat. It needs some milk. Want to go get some milk?
But you're the wife, right? And the cop knocks on your door and like, oh, great, the milk's here.
No.
But your husband's not going to be here anytime soon.
Well, let's be honest. The milk was probably more important at that point. The baby needs her milk, okay?
Needs milk.
Anyway, one more. A Belden man, and this one's a little bit convoluted, but I talked to William Moore, our crime reporter, to get clarification.
Cipher.
And we read it the same way, so we'll try to figure this one out together. A Belden man said he and his girlfriend were supposed to get married on Monday. This would have been last Monday. They met at the mall and rode to a location on County Road 133 in Tupelo, or near Tupelo. She got all of her belongings out of the car and pointed a gun at him, saying he was not going to leave until the sheriff's department arrived.
What?
The reporting deputy noted that the man was arrested for domestic violence on Monday. Now, how I read that is he was arrested early Monday, posted bail, and for whatever reason, he's arrested again, and she's got a gun on him the whole time.
Wait, so what day did this happen?
Last Monday.
So and he I talked was to arrested William. The same day.
Apparently. I talked to William, and
that's just bad luck.
Hey, we're going to go get hitched. Psych.
You're going to get arrested twice instead.
It almost sounds like an intervention.
We're missing some key details
and
here.
The getting hitched was like the ploy to get him to...
Was William able to provide anything?
That's all they had in the report. Sometimes these reports tend to miss, just not leave out a lot of details that aren't really germane to what the officer is doing. He's just
germane,
I
love that word.
He's not going to ask for all the background necessarily, or if he is, he's not going to put everything in the report, just the basics of what happened. You like that big word, germane?
I just always want to. It was not Jermaine Jackson to the conversation.
Nah. But apparently, best we can tell, this guy was arrested Monday, maybe shortly after midnight.
Sure.
It was one of those late night things, technically a Monday.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe he did something else once he got out of the can, and she's like, this guy needs to be arrested again.
Mm.
And so she just goes through this whole charade of, yeah, we're going to go get married, even though it doesn't say she's the victim of the domestic violence, but you can put two and two together. Let's go get hitched, even though you're a terrible person. Uh-huh. And
we'll
somewhere out in the county.
Mall.
Yeah, just meet the mall and go.
Because they do those quickie weddings there.
I don't know what's out on that road.
At JCPenney.
133. I don't know what's out there. If there's a church maybe out there that
you're
going to.
Couldn't help
just as a location. And then she pulls.
This has Lifetime original movie written all
sure
over
does.
It.
And then she just pulls the gun on him like, just kidding. I'm calling the cops. You're going down, buddy.
Well, her plan seemed to work.
And but
I just wish I knew what her plan was.
Imagine the guy standing there with his hands up. So does this mean we're postponing the wedding? Or I'm a little confused. Is there still a way? Do I need to
bad
tell?
Cop, good
do I need
cop,
to call everybody that I invited and tell them not to come?
They all jump out and say surprise. She gets scared and the gun goes off. It's a whole thing.
Do I need to call my travel agent?
Do I need to cancel my honeymoon?
We're going to go to Guntown. I don't think you can take that on the plane, honey.
We're going to go to Guntown for the honeymoon, but we have to cancel that.
Guntown.
I don't think this is going to be a big ceremony, best I can tell. So, crime reports, read more of these.
If it had been a shotgun, it would have been a literal shotgun
wedding.
I'm
trying to give a plug here. I did put that as my title on the crime reports that day.
Trying to give a plug.
Shotgun wedding. Tip sheet.
Trying to make a joke here.
I already made the joke.
I didn't see it.
Well, that's true. Great minds think alike, Derek.
Don't bring me into this.
Tipsheet.djournal.com. That's the blog with the police reports on an almost daily basis. So, want to say something, Chris?
Yeah, I do. I guess we didn't put it in the show, and we'll probably have something more on it later in the week. But just to kind of let people know who have been following, of course, the Entertain Us contest ended on Sunday. Congratulations to Kabir Blake Gupta was the winner for his video Life Lessons.
Cool.
I think Scott's working on a story on him for the journal. Maybe it's going to run sometime later this week, and we'll probably have Scott, or if we can get Kabir on the show to kind of talk about his video a little bit too. But
okay.
Want to let people know who the winner was.
Good deal.
I thought you were about to announce this was your last show or something.
Chris Kiefer stepping down.
Sorry.
Tired of putting up with our crap. If I have to edit out one more stupid joke or inappropriate reference, I'm just going to punch the wall.
for the analogy that people who are just listening to this but not inside the studio... For every dumb joke you hear on the air,
it's five
like
more than
five that I've got to cut out.
Like, that's going to hurt our rating. Sorry, guys. Got to cut that one out.
Most
of them are Brad's. Most of them are mine. I admit, yes, most of them are mine. Chris has the phrase making the sausage. It's not pretty when Chris has to go put this together. It's. So we appreciate his work and hope he doesn't actually leave soon. Ever, please.
I think we're good.
Please stay. Okay. That's it, I guess, Derek.
I believe that is it.
Special thanks to Ashley Prince for coming on the show. Appreciate her. Check out the local mobile food truck. The food is good. You can follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. You can send us an email, memo@journalinc.com. Send us your comments, thoughts, criticisms, whatever. Recipes for brownies. You can send us anything. It doesn't matter.
Not you, John.
What? I'm not John.
I'm talking to John.
Who's John?
What was his name?
James?
James.
It has been a while since we talked about him. You forgot his name.
Well, I was already going to Juicy. I was
James
like, James, don't email us anything.
Juicy, I'd be fine with Juicy emailing us. Mm. Give us a little more info on who this is.
I'll forward it to you.
Put Juicy on the show. Unless Juicy's in jail by now. Could be. I'm on the Twitter at Brad Locke. Derek?
Yep, I'm on there too.
You want to give people the address or just make them
I was
guess?
Just wondering if you knew it.
At W. Derek Russell.
Oh, okay, I was just checking.
Chris Kiefer at Chris Kiefer.
I knew it. I wanted to see if you knew it.
I know it. At Chris Kiefer. Second F is silent. Let's not forget
he
that.
He actually changed his recently.
Mm-hmm.
What?
The first F is silent now.
Oh, the
yeah.
first?
Yeah.
Now you're just throwing everybody off, Chris. Nobody's going to be able to find
every
you.
Couple of
just
weeks.
Just create a whole new account. So you have to do now. I'm going to lose followers, Chris. Okay.
Twitter handle is juicy26.
I just changed the display name.
Yeah.
So all the followers are still there.
Yeah.
I just changed the which F was silent on the yeah. display name.
Oh, okay. Okay. In that case. Okay. A little parentheses around it.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Fuh.
Thought you were going somewhere else with that.
No. It's a family show.
It's like,
show.
Oh, edit.
Family show. We'll be back again on Wednesday with an all new episode.
See you then.